Bill, and I'm going to be speaking with you this morning. And I thought maybe a good subject for church would be to talk about God. What do you think? At church, we could talk about God? Okay. Well, last week we talked about the evidence for God's existence. You know, how do we really know God exists? And we talked a little bit about some scientific things, some philosophical things, the Bible, and even personal experience that we all have. And the evidence really is overwhelming. There is a God. There really is a God. Now, today I want to talk about, well, what do we know about God? What is God like? And let me start with a quote from A.W. Tozer. He's one of my favorite authors. And he says, God's infinitude places him so far above our knowing that a lifetime spent in cultivating the knowledge of him leaves as much yet to learn as if we had never begun. Did you get all that? Okay, the gist of it is, we can spend our whole lives learning about God and there still be a whole lot more to learn. Okay? But we should begin learning about God. And I want to start this morning with, let's clarify some things that aren't true about God, some false beliefs about God. And the first one we talked a little bit last week was atheism. That's disbelief in the existence of God. In other words, people who are atheists believe there is no God. Okay? And we've already established and believe that there is. And atheism really is an impossible belief because no person can know everything or go everywhere to be absolutely certain that God does not exist. That's impossible. In fact, Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I told you all last week that they have their very own special holiday on April 1st. Because April Fool's Day is for the atheist, because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Okay, so atheism's out the window. But then there's agnosticism. This is the belief that it is impossible to know whether or not God exists. In other words, you cannot know if there is a God. Okay? Now, this belief does have an element of truth in it because there will always be a little bit of faith required since we cannot fully know God because he's so far beyond our comprehension. But the scriptures say that we can get to know God. And so it's not impossible. In fact, Romans 1, verse 20 says this, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And we talked a little bit about that last week, how even all of nature and all of creation is evidence that God really is. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul is writing and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He's praying for us. And the Lord wants us to know him more and more and more. And while we cannot fully comprehend him, we can get to know him. And then there's polytheism. This is a false belief that there's more than one deity. In other words, there are lots of gods. You think of Greek and Roman mythology. They had a lot of gods. Okay? But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39, it says, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. And in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, God himself says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. So polytheism is out the window. There are not many gods. There is one God. And then here's an interesting one, pantheism. The belief that God and the material world are one and the same thing, that God is present in everything. We are all a part of God. In other words, God is everything and everything is God. Okay? This is kind of the philosophy that's in the Star Wars movies, the Force, you know, they don't call it God, but the Force is just kind of in everything. That's kind of what pantheism says, that God is just, he's in everything, he's part of everything, and we're all part of it too, and, you know, that diminishes who God really is. Because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he's not just part of the creation, but he is the creator. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So God is the creator. And then another false belief is deism. Deism is the belief that God exists, and he set the universe in motion, but he does not interfere with how it runs. In other words, God is absent. So they believe in God, but God really doesn't interact with us anymore. Well, I'd like to quote John 3:16. How about you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is involved. In fact, Amos 4:13 says this about God. He who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. That sounds like a God who is very present and active in our world today. So God is not just some mystical force. He's not an advanced being somewhere out in the universe. He's not just a man with superpowers. God is the one supernatural being that transcends space and time. Everything else comes from him. He alone is God. He's living and active today, and you can know him. Isn't that cool? Now let's talk a little bit about who God is, and his names describe him a little bit. And some of these you have to get back into the original languages that the Bible were written in, but they tell us a little bit more about God and his character. The first one is Elohim. You find this in Genesis 1:1 where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the original Hebrew language, the word for God is Elohim. Okay? Elohim is the first name for God that we find anywhere in the Bible. It's the most common name that is translated as God. It comes from a root word that means strength, might, and power. It's used over 2,300 times in the scriptures to refer to the God that we know, the God of Israel. Now, Elohim is unusual since it's a plural word. Okay? This plural name that is used for the one God opens the door for the revelation of the plural yet single nature of God, the Trinity, which is more fully revealed in the rest of scriptures. And I'm not going to try to explain the Trinity because I've been working on that my whole life and I haven't quite figured it all out yet. Okay? But it's there right in the very beginning with Elohim, the one yet plural God. And our minds can't quite comprehend that. And then another name that God uses is simply El, E-L. Genesis 14:19, it says, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. In that text, it's El, E-L. And it comes from the same root word as Elohim. It's translated God. It's used about 100 times in the, or 200 times in the scriptures. And it means the first, the strong and powerful Lord. That's who he is. And then the scripture sometimes adds another little word onto these words. And so it's like a further description. So then we come and we find El Shaddai. And some of you will remember the old song by Amy Grant, El Shaddai. Genesis 17:1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. The original language was El Shaddai. It means the all-powerful God. And it comes from a root word that simply means burly. That's who God is. He's burly. He's all-powerful. You know, nothing is too big for my God to accomplish, and nothing is too little for him to use in accomplishing it. He is all powerful. And then we come upon El Elyon. We find this in Genesis 14, verse 18, when it talks about Melchizedek, who was the priest of God Most High. El Elyon means the lofty one, the God who is above all. Above all. And then there's El Olam. That sounds a little bit Scandinavian, but it's really not. El Olam, Genesis 21:33 speaks of the eternal God, the God who always was and always will be, the eternal one. And our minds, again, cannot quite comprehend that, because in our human nature, everything has a beginning and an end, but God does not. There was no beginning with God, and there's no end with God. He just always has been and always will be. I'm just now, as I've preached this before, and I'm just now kind of being overwhelmed with that thought. Even though I've studied it and referenced it many times before, it's overwhelming to think God has always been and always will be. My mind cannot really comprehend that, but that's who God is. And then there's also titles that are used for God in the Bible. And you might be familiar with this one, Jehovah, or Yahweh. It's basically a variation of the same four letters in the Hebrew language. And it's used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, when it speaks about the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth. That word Lord is Jehovah, or Yahweh. And it comes from the Hebrew verb, which means to be. Shakespeare didn't invent that. God did. To be. This word emphasizes God's absolute being. He has life and being inherent in himself. Everything else derives its being from him. The Lord is the source of all existence and all reality. He is without beginning and without end, because he always was, he is, and he always will be. He is Jehovah. And then again in the Hebrew language, they tack on other words to that, and so we come up with these compound words like Jehovah Jireh. This title of God is translated as the Lord will provide. Genesis 22, verse 14, we find this. And some of you know the story, the historical record of Abraham taking his son Isaac up on the mountain, and he was going to kill him as a sacrifice to God, but God provided a ram so he didn't have to kill his son as a sacrifice. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider. He supplies everything you need. Everything you have comes from him, Jehovah Jireh. Hudson Taylor says, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. And he sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. That's how well God can provide. Plenty every day, because he is the Lord who provides. And it's been said, when you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough. You know, there's an old chorus, he is all I need. He is all I need. Because God is enough. He is the Lord who provides. Then there's Jehovah Shalom. This phrase means the Lord is peace. And how we long for peace. Even in society, in the world, all around, whether they believe in God or not, people long for peace. And God himself is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. It's been said that safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Somebody else said it this way. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that he is there with you always. We get peace just by being with God. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shema is the Lord is there. That kind of ties into the last one, and he gives us peace. And so often, in our human frailties, we feel like we're all alone. Anybody ever feel like, I'm all alone, nobody else knows? But God does, because the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord that heals. That is part of who he is. He's just a healing God. He heals. If you need a healing, come to God because he is the healer. Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. He leads us, he guides us. He directs us. He provides for us. Are you getting a picture of who God is just by his names and his titles? Then in the New Testament, there's a word for God in the Greek language that is theos. It's the Greek word for God, and we get our word theology from this word, theos. Theology. It means the one supreme supernatural being. That's who God is. The one supreme supernatural being. So he's not just natural like we are. Come from the earth, part of creation, but God is supernatural. And he's not one of many because he's the supreme and he's the only one God. Theos. And then there's Kyrios, Matthew 1:20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. That word Lord there is Kyrios. It's in the Greek language and it means God who is in control and has supreme authority. We need to remember that. Is I think many times as Christians, even with our faith in God, sometimes life seems like it's out of control. Everything's flying apart. Life is a mess. But the Lord is always in control. He's in control. And he has absolute supreme authority. Authority. What he says goes without question. He is in control. During a famous battle in baseball, Babe Pinelli was the plate umpire and Babe Ruth the batter. They called it the Battle of the Babes. And Pinelli called the legendary slugger out on strikes. And Babe Ruth would have none of it. He said, there's 40,000 people here who know that that last one was a ball, tomato head. Maybe so, umpire Pinelli said, but mine is the only opinion that counts. And so it is with God. He has absolute authority, and his opinion is ultimately the only one that counts. And there are he said 40,000, but in the world today, there are literally millions of opinions out there. But God's opinion is the one that counts. He is the one true God with absolute authority. And then finally, God is described as our Father. Matthew 6:9, we are instructed to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's our Father. He's the Creator God. As Father, He is the protector, the nourisher, the helper. He is the one who combines aspects of supernatural authority with care for His people. I know there's a lot of experiences with father figures that are skewed, but historically and biblically, a father is one who has authority in the life of children and yet has a lot of care and love for those children. It's a balance of those two things, and that's who God is. He is our Father. Tim Hansel says, one day, while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me!" I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped and then yelled, "Hey, Dad!" I became an instant circus act catching him. We both fell to the ground, and for a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And he responded with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life to the hilt because I could be trusted. Isn't this even more true for a Christian? God is worthy of our trust. He's our Father. So we're getting a better picture of who God is. He's the one true God, and there is no other like Him. He is the Creator of the universe, and nothing would exist without Him. He is all-powerful, and no other power can challenge Him. He is eternal, without beginning and without end. He is the Most High. Others may be impressive, but none come close to comparing with God. He has absolute authority. His word is final. He is in charge. No one can overrule Him. He can never be fully understood, but He can be known. He is our Father who wants a relationship with us. And so I have a real basic question for you today. Would you like to know God? Because He is knowable, and He wants to have a relationship with you. Would you please bow your heads for a moment? And I imagine that most everybody in this room already understands what it is to have a relationship with God. But just in case there is somebody who has never really thought of having a relationship or a friendship with God, I want to encourage you today. That is possible. God is not just some lofty concept that we talk about, but He is a knowable person that you can be friends with. Would you like to have a friendship with God? And if that's you and you've never thought of it that way before, would you please raise your hand? I'd like to pray with you. Well, God, You know the hearts of every person in the room, whether we are in relationship with You or not, and how strong the relationship is or how weak it is. God, I want to thank You that we can know You. It's even possible to know the God who created everything that is, the God who always was and always will be, wants to have a friendship with me. God, I thank You for that. It's hard for me to even comprehend that, but I say thank You, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You would work in all of us and help us to know You more and more and more. Keep on revealing Yourself to us, Lord God. We want to know You. Lord, lead us. Direct our lives. Help us in our walk with You, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing, "How Great is Our God."
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! Now we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. Yes, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. I will see how great is our God.
Lord, you are worthy of all praise, and there is no other like you. You are the one true God, the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords. We love you, Lord. We welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into this place. And God, we surrender ourselves to you as we acknowledge your lordship and your authority. We say yes to you, Lord. We surrender. Lord, continue to minister in our hearts and minds. Lord, if there are any here who need a healing touch, Lord, I pray that you would reveal your healing power in their bodies today. Because you are the Lord who heals. Lord, if there's any who are struggling to meet their needs this day, I pray that you would reveal yourself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And may they be astounded at the provision of the Lord. Lord, if there are any who are just simply feeling alone, perhaps abandoned, I pray that you would reveal yourself as the Lord who is there, the Lord of peace, that you are right there with them and lift them up in their time of need. Lord, help us all to know you better and to understand you as our Father who loves us, who provides for us, who protects us. We want to know you more. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing the chorus one more time. How great.